you know, everybody takes a million pictures now of their kids. I'm going to try to not to do that, but as I'm doing it, I'm like, well, I think people expect me to take the perfect picture of the kid, like, every day.
You know what's awesome is that I was looking at those pictures going, eh, these aren't that great.
So
keep working on it, buddy.
Hello and welcome to episode 25 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. I'm Alan in Tubingen.
And I am Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Normally, we're talking Friday morning. Normally, we record earlier in the week, but had a big day Tuesday, so.
What happened?
Germany's Next Top Model, the finale was on.
Who won?
I don't know. I don't even know it was on. I was just joking. But, my wife and I welcomed our first baby. It came on Tuesday, so.
I knew that, by the way.
Yeah, I already told Adam. Wouldn't it be awesome if you just found out at the same time as everybody else?
Yeah, that's awesome. I was just, I've been on the computer for 3 days waiting for you to show up to record this.
What? Lena was pregnant? You didn't tell anything. Anyway.
And so you had a girl.
We had a baby girl. Yeah. And I don't want to make this the Two Hosers Dad Show.
But I think we like a couple of details, so everything is good?
Everything is healthy. Mom and baby are really healthy. 3,490 grams.
Which I can't do the conversion, but I'm guessing around seven-something pounds?
Yeah, it's 710.
Okay. That's a good, weird. Good size baby.
Yep. Yeah, we did. I thought 710 was large, but apparently not. So.
I saw some of the pictures of the baby, and she looks like a baby.
She does look like a baby.
Saw some crying and looks like, maybe got some good lungs.
Yep. She's really well behaved, actually. That was like an anomaly in that picture. For real.
Okay.
She pretty much sleeps the whole time. And yeah.
Well, that.
So it's funny when I see everyone else's babies, it's, you know, I'm like, yeah, great. Good for you. She's cute. Let's move on. But when it's your own, you definitely are a little bit more interested in the kid.
Yes.
I do find the way she sleeps and the way she holds her head and the way when she lays on your chest and that sort of stuff, it actually is wildly fascinating when it's your own.
Yes. Welcome to parenthood. It's like that for everything.
Oh, sure. I don't doubt that. And I didn't doubt that when I watched you guys do it. It's just that your kids didn't interest me until they were two.
And yours will become infinitely more interesting as they get older. I have to say, even reflecting on my own, is that, yes, it's all fun and good while they're babies and they're fun to snuggle and love and all that. But they do get a lot more interesting and fun as they get a little bit older anyways.
Plus, they're probably going to be better than your kids.
Yeah, wow. Tough to beat. Mine are pretty awesome.
Actually, I made that joke, and you're right. They are tough to beat. They'll be better than everybody else's kids, though.
Yeah.
That's how my kids. My kids will be better, slightly smarter. They'll probably talk a day earlier. And I won't hesitate to tell anybody.
Right. And you'll lie about it with any of their shortcomings.
Oh, yeah. No, she meant to do that. Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely. Shortcomings. You turn that into a positive.
Right. Yeah.
That's it. When did parenting just become spinning? Like, just totally spinning stories.
Is your son walking yet? Oh, no. He finds it much more efficient to have somebody carry him.
Yeah.
He's just smart. It's not that he can't do it. He's just smart.
He's focusing all his energy on learning Mandarin. So, you know, we found it more important that he have a fifth language than it would be to walk.
He can always walk later.
Yeah, he walked early on, and then he didn't like it, so he shut her down.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, he skipped it and just started running. That's what happened. What, your kid walks? Oh, that is so last year. Oh.
All right.
Yeah. Photo, I just made fun of every parent.
Photo show.
So, what'd you shoot this week?
Did we say what the topic or any of that stuff was?
Oh, we're going to do window light.
Window light.
Did we not say that? Window light.
I don't think so. Did we say what episode this was?
25. Episode 25.
And it's about window light.
About window light.
All right. Well, let's roll then. Let's hit the...
Well, we just wasted half of the episode telling you what it was about, so...
So do we not bother now?
Yeah. Enjoy. Go shoot some pictures near the window. First of all, what did you shoot this week?
I shot pictures of window light.
You know what? So did I.
So did you. And you know what I found interesting? When I submitted my pictures for this week, I had a hard time picking one because I was like a window light fanatic. I took three pictures and found each of them interesting in their own way. So I submitted three and I saw that you did the same. So I don't know exactly where we should begin here.
I submitted more than that and then I whittled it down out of some sort of need to not overdo it.
To three though?
Yep, I did. That's the thing is this week my window light addiction replaced my bokeh addiction.
Okay.
That's been something that I have suffered with in the past. I don't not really suffer. I don't want to make light of it. But you find a lot of people, I know you're like that, and everybody who gets a prime lens is like that, is everything shot at 1.8 and the background blurry all the time.
Right.
Which isn't necessarily bad, but you find that, I think people know what I'm talking about if they're listening to this. Everything's blurry. And it's great. I love it. I still do it. But now I have a new addiction.
Window light?
Window light.
I am also a huge fan of window light, so I have to confess I've replaced my bokeh addiction, not permanently, but I spend much less time shooting on 1.8 and much more time shooting close to windows at 3.5 or 4.
Yep. That's right in the wheelhouse of good. And then, you know, the funny thing was, is I had shot early this week, or like last week, I guess it's been 10 days or so. I shot a bunch of pictures specifically for the challenge.
Yeah.
And had them all ready to go. And then the baby came and I'm obviously shooting a lot of pictures in the hospital. And everything I shoot in the hospital is window light.
Yes.
Not on purpose. That's just the way they have the hospital set up. It's all window light coming in.
Yeah.
And so everything I shoot, I'm not ready to post any of those yet because I got a bunch and you know to go through. So
yeah,
we're not getting into those, but it's just kind of funny. So this whole week became about shooting that way. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the photo challenge.
Okay. Well, I'm not sure which photo you want to discuss first. Should we go through my three, or do you want to pick one? I don't know where to start.
If you had to submit one of your three, which would it be?
I honestly don't know. They like them for different reasons. I took one picture of each child, and I can't pick one over the other because I like both of them equally but differently. And then
but the boy slightly more. So let's go with Jack.
Okay, and then the picture I took of myself was more of a goof, but I also thought you know it was a pretty decent picture for what it is.
We'll get to that. Let's go with your. Just pick a horse, man.
Okay, I'll take Jack's first because I took that picture first. How about that?
Love it.
I took that picture right after the challenge, I think the next day, and I thought, oh, great opportunity. We're having popsicles in the kitchen, and I quickly snapped that picture. And I liked it because this isn't the typical window light picture I take. This is on the other side of our house in the afternoon, and the sun is just blaring in, and the kids can't even look right at me because it's too bright where the sun's coming in. But I like it because of the way the window frame kind of casts that shadow on them.
So you have a gobo in there.
I don't even know what that is.
That's big. That's how we do lighting in the I guess the film, photography, everything like that. I believe there's a bunch of different names for it, but anytime you put something that goes between the light and the subject, go between, gobo. I don't know why it's called. I think I was told that's why it was called gobo.
Yeah. Why wouldn't it be go be?
Yeah, I didn't invent it. why is a clothespin a C-47?
I don't know.
I
don't know either.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. But that's what it is.
Gobo, all right.
Gobo. So you went and used the window.
Yep.
To create a shadow.
Yep.
Okay, carry on.
And yeah, that's it. That's it. I think I shot this. I don't have the details in front of me, but I'm gonna say probably at f3.5 or 4 with probably about 160th of a second shutter speed at an ISO of 400 or 200. I'm gonna guess, just looking at it.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So, and there it is. That's it. I like it. Let me tell you why I like it. I like it because I can't always do this, but I got the catch light in his eyes amongst the shadow.
Yeah.
And I just like that effect. I like when I see pictures that have that catch light and the eyes pop out to me in spite of the shadow on his face.
You just stole the words right out of my mouth. That's exactly what I was going to say. I love how the shadow casts underneath his eyes and sort of gives shape to his cheeks. Especially that little triangle on his left cheek.
Yeah.
And then the reflection in his eyes, it's a catch light, but we got some other colors coming in, maybe the popsicle, I don't know. Probably not. It's going to be very small in his eyes, but it's everything else is lighting up there, and they really pop out. And nice hard light coming across, his shadow across his shoulder. It looks great.
And I like the quick drop-off behind it because, again, this is shot in my kitchen and there's really nothing pleasing in the background. So I like how the focus becomes all about him and everything else is pretty much an afterthought in the picture.
Now, you don't normally read the show notes, so did you this week?
I do. I actually have them. I read them ahead of time, yeah.
Maybe that's why, because this is all coming up in how to shoot window light.
And I actually wasn't thinking about it at all.
Fantastic.
That's just how good I am.
Man. All right.
So next picture?
I'm going to submit. If I had to submit one.
Yeah?
I struggled over this because of I like. Well, we'll talk about them separately, but I'm going to go with challenge B, the close-up of Lena.
The close-up, yes. I'm looking at that picture right now. I like this picture.
This actually serves two of my addictions, if you'll notice.
And what's the bokeh plus the window light?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. I do. Is where's the shot in your kitchen?
Also in my kitchen. Yeah. Yep.
And what is it that you like most about this picture?
To me, it was. I like the angle. I like the light in her eyes. I like the way the soft shadow kind of goes across her face. It's not too hard and harsh.
Yeah.
I like the sort of strange colors.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I like the colors. It's a unique kind of color set. Yeah. And I like how soft her shoulder and underneath her neck appears relative to her face.
Right. That's thanks to the F, probably F2. I didn't want to go full F. I might have gone full F1.4. I don't remember now. I took this a week and a half ago. And I wanted to be careful to try to blur the background as much as I could, but also try to keep the bulk of her face in focus.
Right.
So I think the focus is on her the inside of her left eye, like the very sort of inside the nose side of her left eye.
Right.
To be very specific. Yeah, and so I picked this one just because it those things, cause the odd angle, the little sort of Dutch angle that I took it at.
Yeah.
And I'd taken a couple of these, actually. This was Lena was right about her due date, actually, when I took these. And so she was pretty good to put up with me taking a bunch of pictures of her.
Yeah, yeah.
But this one just had her stand by the sink. I stood up on the counter so we can get that kind of high angle.
Yeah.
So that below her chin would go soft and her shoulder would do the same. And that's how that one happened.
I like it. And just the color looks fantastic. Was it cropped like that or was that the actual framing out of camera?
That's the framing in camera.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure. I hope so. But yes, no, it is. That is, that's how I framed it in camera.
All right. Well, I think it's good. Should we go through some of the others?
Let's go through. I'll talk about why I almost chose my other one of my wife.
Okay, well, let's hit that one.
very similar to what you talked about with like the shadow across Jack's face and the way his eyes stuck out. I noticed when Lena was – I had her sit at our kitchen table, and we have – the whole back row of the house is windows. So we have a nice floor-to-ceiling window right next to her that's lighting her up.
Yeah.
And then in the back, we have sort of a smaller window, which is kind of cutting the light. So it's – you can see the light is a little more – it's kind of a slash of light.
Yeah.
On the back wall.
Yeah. That's what my attention goes to immediately when I look at this.
And so I liked the way the slash of light sort of came down and led into her face.
Yeah.
And so I had trouble deciding because I really liked that effect. I like the fact that window light, oftentimes when you shoot window light, you stay close to the subject and ignore the background. But this one, I wanted to actually include a deeper background.
Yeah. And I think I agree with your selection in terms of the picture I like more, I think, is the first one, only because I think the second one becomes much more about the background than it does just the subject. And also her pose is kind of a blasé pose. And and again, that leads you to spend a whole lot more time looking at everything else in the picture, right?
I agree.
But I like both pictures.
Little tip for you. If you're ever going to recreate this picture in my living room.
Yeah.
Take the picture that is sitting on top of the, what do you call that, bureau in the background there, high board?
Yeah.
The picture that's reflecting the sun and coming out, turning out hot white.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remove that next time.
All right. Well, when I take that picture in your living room, I will remember to do that.
Learn from my mistakes, please. I was going to Photoshop it, and but then I thought, no, that's just cheating. I made an error. I want to leave it in and learn from it.
Right, and it didn't,
I just hadn't
didn't really bother me, to be honest.
Yeah, it really sucks too much attention out of there.
See where I find a bigger issue is the so you got the frames on the back wall, and you got the three frames, and then that fourth one, that orange one. Mm-hmm. Is up too high. That's I keep looking at that going, why is that picture there? Or whatever it is. Is it just a picture?
No, it's a light.
Oh, okay.
It's a wall light. That's a long story. It's a long story that fortunately is really boring.
Okay.
So I'm not going to.
Okay.
Well, it doesn't actually belong there. So.
Okay. Well, then point made.
Yeah, I agree with you. I could have Photoshopped that too, but I didn't want to do it. I cannot agree with you more that does not belong there. I don't love that light there in my everyday life. I'm not talking about the picture. I just mean in life.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
But
all right, well.
So let's go to the other one. You submitted one last night.
This morning, or I guess it was your last morning? Night. Yeah, it was my this morning.
And it is. I see why you had a hard time choosing. It's fantastic.
Yeah, and I like that is my typical window light because that's in my living room where
we're talking about Sarah here.
Yeah, so the picture of Sarah where she's on the couch and the entire like wall to her left, so our right, is like sliding glass window. So it's just all window light all along there. And that's probably from her left cheek, we're talking is a foot and a half away. Uh-huh. So you've got all that light to work with. And again, I'm guessing because I'm no expert on this, but because it's so close to her, it seems like you can really have that dark drop off behind her. So you get her all lit up and in focus, but you get almost complete drop off behind her shooting at like an F4. So I've got plenty of depth to work with, but I still get like an almost blacked out background. And that's the effect that I like. I feel like I'm in a studio without having the equipment or spending the money on it. That's what I feel like when I shoot those pictures. Yeah.
Well, that's the purpose of this episode. We're going to talk all about that.
Yeah.
And how to do that because you just nailed it. What you have here is a perfect example of what is good about window light. So I think we'll probably come back and refer to this when we go over how to take great window light pictures because this is just. I don't want to spoil the ending, so let's just finish up the photo challenge.
Okay, so then we each took a picture of ourselves. So,
well, My wife took mine. Did you use a tripod on yours?
I used the tripod, but I think my wife might have actually clicked the shutter. I don't know if I used a timer or if she clicked it. I think she's taking credit for actually squeezing the shutter here.
I think for your ego, that's better.
Okay. All right.
Because otherwise, you're some kind of a weirdo.
Are we talking about mine first? Are you gonna rip?
Yeah, let's go with yours first. Yours. Well, first of all, you're excellent. You're really sharp focus. So I'm guessing that's hard to do in a self portrait. With when you get like your sort of soft background, if you're shooting at like an F4 or lower,
yeah,
it's difficult. It's very difficult to get yourself in focus.
And I think this might have been an F5 range just because it was so bright.
Yeah.
So I think I might have even on an ISO. This is I'm pretty sure is an ISO 100, and I'm like F5 or F5.6 because it was just this was first thing in the morning, and we stayed at a hotel, and I opened the drapes, and it was just blaring light, which is why I had to put the sunglasses on because I couldn't keep my eyes open any other way.
Right. And this is your headshot for your application to go work as a bouncer?
Yeah, that I think so. It was more my love of my Oakley sunglasses that I got about a month ago, and I just wanted to throw up my best blue steel. And this was really for you. I was just like, you want to see blue steel? Here you go. Here's blue steel.
That's black steel.
That's right there. Black steel.
Because it's black and white.
Right. And I took it, and the thing is I'm wearing a black shirt and the sunglasses are black. And so when I put it in color, it ends up all, I mean, other than the fact that my skin tone isn't black and white, the rest of the picture looks exactly the same. The background is white and black. Everything about this said black and white. So I got rid of the skin tones and figured it was just better as a black and white.
All kidding aside, this is actually a great black and white photo. I love the fact that it is black and white.
Because there's also nothing else in the photo. Like there's nothing, right. There's nothing else there. So I figured
just your anger.
Yeah. Oh no, that's not anger. That's just, I mean, you know, that's just awesome. That's what that is.
That is awesome. If you could photograph awesome, I think that's how you'd do it. Yeah. Put it close to the window. And yeah, well, see that, I think this all started because, just after we started the window light challenge last week, I noticed We had new drapes in our baby room.
Are you talking about your picture now?
Yeah, I'm going to bring out the impetus of why we have pictures of ourselves up here.
Okay.
I think I blame you.
Yeah.
I blame you.
All right.
We have new drapes in our room, and so I actually was using the drapes to manipulate the light in the room, and I had my wife, who was tired of getting her picture taken, so she snapped one of me, and that's what you're looking at there. That's why I snapped a test shot.
Why are you getting dressed up?
I decided not to just do a t-shirt shot. I wanted to see how the light would play across a dress shirt.
You got a tie out.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Lisa's looking at your picture now, and you know what she's thinking.
Why didn't I marry him?
No, she's thinking, does this guy own an iron?
Yeah, that's the thing. No, I don't. I don't keep my shirts ironed ready to go because I don't wear a dress shirt very often.
Right.
So I wore this at my wedding. I think I wore it once since and sat in my closet. So I do own an iron. I was given an iron as a present. Great present. But and you'll notice, so I didn't bother ironing my shirt, and I didn't bother tying my tie.
No, and so I understand the not tying your tie because I'm thinking, okay, maybe this is a shot, you know, like the pre-wedding shot where you're getting ready. You know, you've got a big night out and you're getting ready. But you know what I thought when I saw this shirt? I thought to myself, he just put this on for this picture because that thing is wrinkled as hell, and there's no way he was going out. Orlena wasn't going to let him go out looking like that.
Correct.
Right. Okay. I'm just glad you didn't go anywhere.
So what's worse, the fact that I put on a wrinkly shirt for the picture, so that I made the effort to put on the shirt, right, or if I had put on a really pristine shirt before going out?
I think you – what do you mean? What's worse?
What's a bigger – I don't know how to say it. What's more self-indulgent?
I don't know. You tell me.
I, I don't know. I look at it both ways now. See, I thought I was going to get off the hook by putting on – I didn't even bother ironing my shirt, you know? Come on.
Yeah.
But now it's like, yeah, you went and got a shirt just for the picture.
Exactly.
I mean, I see this picture. I think Lufthansa heist in Goodfellas. Right. That's what I think. But
you looked at – like I submitted my picture of myself and you thought, wow, that guy's awesome. I better get dressed up for this because I'm just wearing a T-shirt.
Oh, now we're going to check the timestamps on these because I took mine first.
Really?
Oh, definitely.
Oh, and you just hadn't submitted it, and once you,
I emailed it to you, I'm going to post that email so you know full well.
I didn't. I honestly didn't. I only got this after, and I thought, hey, Al did his picture because he saw me do that picture.
Well, other way around, man.
Really?
I thought you were doing it to mock me.
No, miscommunication.
I had no intention of posting this picture, but now I thought, okay, well, he's mocking me. That's it. I'm putting it up there.
But all kidding aside, I like this picture for the fact that it's got that effect that we're talking about in Jack's picture where, you know, you've got shadow in that, you know, your right eye, and yet it still casts that really – or projects that really nice catchlight.
Yeah. And that's why I took this had my wife snap this because I set it all up and manipulated the curtains just where I want them so a certain slash of light was coming in because the entire wall on that side is actually curtain as well or is window as well.
Yeah.
And so by blocking almost all of it, I had like a slash of light coming in from one part of the window. And I liked how it created the light on the one side of the face and the sort of texture across my shirt and the shadows. And so I took this picture as a placeholder for the future to say next time I'm taking someone's portrait, I want to go back and sort of mimic this lighting on another person.
Right. With someone who's got less gray hair.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
Okay.
And that's actually what you're looking at is photoshopped out. That's not true. Not true.
All right.
So, all right. That's the giant photo challenge. As you can see, once you start shooting window light, that's all you want to do.
Yeah, and let's just say something about window light in that I, for the first time, I think I've only been on it a couple of times, but I'm starting to like it and getting a bit of a Flickr addiction. So I've been on Flickr checking it out, and people have been posting window light pictures, and I've even commented on a few. So those of you out there who are contemplating whether or not to participate in our Flickr photo group, I think get on it. More people are jumping on board, and definitely it's fun to see what people are putting up there. So it's catching on, buddy.
I've enjoyed that myself. And except for the fact that our show is running long already, I wanted to comment on a few of them. But So we saw one. I'm not looking at him right this second. I'm going to try to bring him up. But there's Eric submitted one that he took on film that he took of the windows in the picture, which is nice. And I like the way the light kind of hits the side walls.
Right.
The one, I think it's the Maritime Museum. We've quite a few other people have submitted and done some real good work.
There was a cool one with a cat looking into the window that had bright blue eyes. That was pretty neat.
Yep.
And there was a cool one of strawberries that I saw. I can't remember who posted what, but there's a I like the one. There was a real simple one with a couple of strawberries that was all done through window light.
That's right. Oh, David Watson here. This is Flickr name.
Okay.
So yeah.
We like it.
Love it. Yeah, keep them coming. We are interested to see your other people's interpretation of not only window light, but, you know, whatever next week's challenge is going to be. So.
All right. Let's hit up the episode here if we haven't already.
So how do you make good window light? Well, this isn't brand new. Window light's not something brand new. It's been going on forever with the classic paintings and all the masters were always painting window light.
They were actually, and I don't want to, they're painting it?
They were painting it. This is an effect that was very, very common. I mean, the typical Rembrandt lighting and all the stuff is that they searched out this kind of lighting and painted in this style. So we're not really inventing anything here.
Oh, I thought I invented it.
Nope.
Oh. All right.
Sorry, buddy.
Let down.
So this goes way back, but I'm not going to get into all the different styles of the...
Nobody cares.
Nobody... Well, people do care, but go Google it. Google does a better job than I can. Okay. So, there's that. But so some of the benefits of window light. We've talked a little bit about it already, but I find it very flattering for portraits.
Okay.
I mean, you can take pictures of anything in a window light, but I love it. I love people pictures.
And why do you think that is? When you say flattering, like what makes it flattering?
It's, first of all, the light is a lot more even. Like you get like a, you can get a nice soft light. You can get a nice, you have a lot more control over the light across someone's face.
Yes. Yeah.
Than you do outside.
Yep. And what are some of the ways like that you manipulate? You mentioned in the photo challenge, like, you know, you could kind of, you know, manipulate the curtains or the drapes so that, you know, at the right time of day when you know the light's coming in, you can open it up. Or like we said with the framing on the window, you could put something in between, a gobo in between your subject and the window light. But like, how do you get the hard versus the soft?
Well, some of that depends on time of the day.
Okay.
And so when we talked in the past about when to shoot, you know, normally you're shooting your pictures. I always say shoot for magic hour so you get that nice golden light.
Yeah.
And much more flattering. Well, with window light, it can actually be the opposite. If you have hard sunlight coming in late in the evening as the sun's going down, it can cast some really harsh light. Not harsh light. I wouldn't say harsh light because it isn't like a nice color. But you get a really strong light coming through that window. So you get a really hard light effect, which as you showed us in your picture of anger or awesome,
yeah.
it can work great. If you want to shoot like a nice hard light picture and your picture works partially because it is hard light,
right?
Then you have that option. If you shoot sort of in the middle of the day, depending on what time of year it is and where you are and, you know, in regards to the equator, you can actually get a nice glow at noon instead of a hard light because the sun is directly overhead and you end up getting a nice, rather than shooting right into your room, you get a nice glow coming in.
Right.
So just, you have so many options about how to utilize window light. You can control it by pulling the drapes partially. If you have shutters, you can roll those down and get that kind of film noir effect.
Right.
Let's say you have long shadows late in the day, and you have light just blasting in, and you have those sort of Venetian blinds. Are those Venetian blinds the ones that are horizontal?
I think those are the horizontal ones are the Venetians, I think.
So that you can crank those partway down, and you can make it look like Jack Nicholson in Chinatown, or you know, you can make that kind of old style look,
right?
And get those shadows on if you like. So there's a lot of options here.
And I had another question too, and I think I kind of know the answer, but you'd probably be much better at explaining it. And that is, we didn't really talk about it in our challenges, but the fall off. And I think we've talked about it on previous episodes. As far as manipulating the exposure compensation.
Yep. To me, that's one of the favorite parts. You talked about it in your picture of Sarah and of Jack even, is that because the window light does fall off so quickly, meaning it's very, very bright by the window, but it doesn't always fill up your entire room.
Right.
And so let's say you're shooting in a room that, hey, you haven't even cleaned up or you know, you got toys everywhere. That doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
So what ends up happening is because your exposure will be set for that person, or your subject, oftentimes the background will fall into darkness. And the best part is, which I don't know if you – I mean, I'm assuming you did this on purpose. You can control that by your subject's proximity to the window.
Right. Yeah.
So when you brought Sarah right next to the window, you basically used every little bit of the exposure of the light coming from the window to light her, which means the drop-off is going to be rapid in the background.
Right.
Now, you can control this, and this is what I did with Lena, is I wanted to have something more even, so I pulled her away from the light.
Right.
By pulling her away, obviously there's less light on her, and now the difference between the background and the subject is a little bit smaller.
Right.
And therefore, we can see deeper into it. So having that kind of control makes life a whole lot easier.
Yeah. And again, I think I kind of liken it to sort of, you know, the studio off-camera lighting setup, right? And this is the cheap alternative.
This is a great training ground for off-camera lighting, because that's something you deal with all the time when you're shooting with, you know, any kind of light, but especially with small strobes, when you're doing the strobist kind of thing, you have to deal with this sort of fall off all the time. Where do you place the light? How close do you place the light to the subject versus the background and all that stuff? And it gets very complicated.
Yeah.
But with window light, the lights are already set. So now you're talking about just moving your subject closer to the window, farther from the window.
Right.
So if you're listening, I recommend doing just that. Just taking one shot, take one shot with your subject close to the window and the almost identical shot just a couple of feet away, and compare the two. Compare the backgrounds and see what happens. See that when you're away from the window, the background will be a little bit brighter.
Makes sense.
Well, yeah, and what I wanted to mention with Sarah's picture, the one that you took there. Now, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in terms of hard light and soft light, you know the difference about that between those?
I think I do, but I don't know how to properly word it.
Soft light is sort of like your diffused light.
Yeah.
It's kind of scattered, coming from all directions.
Yeah.
And hard light is very directional.
Right.
And oftentimes not typically very flattering, although I love it when I get a good picture using hard light. But when the closer the light is to a subject,
yeah,
or the closer the subject is to the light, the softer the light.
Right.
Which sounds odd. You think that, you know, getting very, very close to the light source would make things difficult, but it actually softens the light much better.
Okay, yeah.
So by bringing Sarah very close to the window, where we are getting a diffused light as it is, because the window tends to, most times, diffuse the light and cast a nice glow everywhere. But by bringing her even closer, that's why you get the nice wraparound look. Like, her face is very well lit, even though we have a light side and a dark side.
Yeah.
And the contrast ratio between what's light on her left cheek and her right cheek is, I don't even know, 3-to-1 maybe? I don't know what the ratio is looking at it, but we can see it falling off.
Yeah.
But there is still light, like on her right ear is still lit.
Yeah.
If that was a hard light, that would all fall off to shadow.
Okay.
So by bringing her close, not only do you have the drop-off in the background, but you get a nice, great light on her face.
Okay. I don't think I really thought of it in those terms, just because of that setup, and I just know I like the pictures I get with that setup. I've continued to use it.
Yeah. No, it's great. That's the thing, is once you start getting those results, run with it.
Yeah.
The other thing that you end up getting a lot of with good window light is what we talked about before, is the catch lights in the eyes.
Yeah.
And you can see here, her eyes really... this is a great picture, but full disclosure, Sarah is awfully cute in real life.
She is.
So this isn't photo trickery that you've done here. This is, she is pretty awesome.
I find, and again, with when it goes to the catch lights, and this kind of something I think the rookies like myself out there can start looking for is, you know, you can be looking at someone and then all of a sudden, like, I start looking for it everywhere as I see catch lights and people I talk to or the kids when they're sitting at the table, and then I run and get my camera because I just like the way eyes light up in general. I never thought of it at all until I took a picture with a point and shoot years ago, and I think you commented on it and said, wow, like, you got great catch light there even with your point and shoot. And then since then, I recognize that, you know, pictures with people look way better when they've got that catch light in their eyes. And so,
yep.
So now I almost toss away too many pictures that are probably good outside of the fact that they don't have the catch light the way I would like it.
If I take a series of five pictures of a portrait of a person.
Yeah.
And I have to pick out my one favorite one, I will toss the ones that don't have good catch light. That's the first thing I look for.
Yeah, yeah.
Catch light, gone.
Yeah.
Well, focus. Okay, after focus, then catch lights.
Yeah. And I think that if you ask someone who's not, you know, so familiar with photography, just look at a couple of pictures and ask them which one they like the best, and you can have the same three pictures and only one of them's got the catch light, I would wager that 9 out of 10 times they're going to pick that picture.
Yeah.
Because it just, and it, as you get, just looks better.
As you get better at taking these pictures, I wouldn't say better, but more comfortable taking these kinds of pictures, you can start to manipulate, get Sarah to look, or your subject, but in this case Sarah, to look at different spots to have the catch light show up in different parts of her eyes.
Right.
Because sometimes what I end up doing is I'll take what I think is a good picture, and the catch light will only be in one eye.
Yeah.
And the balance, that throws it off for me, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah, I agree.
So,
and
yes.
Full disclosure, as you like to say, on this picture is the way I got Sarah to look at me so I could actually take this, because she was watching a cartoon or something. That's uh-huh. That's where I get these pictures. She's facing towards the television. And as I told her, this picture was for Al and their baby, because their baby really wanted to see a picture of her. So she turned and she smiled just for that reason. So you should know that. She is thinking warm thoughts of your baby in that picture.
You're trying to make me cry.
No, I'm serious. That was the trick. Sometimes it's what's on daddy's head. Today it was, can you take a picture for Al and the baby? So there you go.
Okay, we're going to pause the show while I wipe the tears.
Yeah, you should. It's very heartfelt.
That is. So that's pretty much the gist of why window light is good. Those are the benefits, you know?
And
aside from the fact that I like the fact that you can shoot in window light without modifying it if you want.
Right.
But if you want to modify, it's a great starting point.
So
So
what do you mean when you say modify?
Well, let's say you wanted to add like a little bit of light on the right side of Sarah. You could have someone hold a reflector.
Right.
To bounce a little bit of light and fill it in. I don't think you do. I love the shot, but You can manipulate light. You could add a flash. If you wanted to add a flash, you could do that. But the key here is that you start with really good light and build on that.
Okay.
It's better than starting with horrible light and trying to salvage it.
Right.
You don't oftentimes find that with window light. Pretty much always it's great. Whether it's cloudy outside or it's sunny, you're going to get some sort of great effect. Different times of the year, if you take window light at late in the evening in December, if you're in the northern hemisphere like we are, you're going to get a very blue light coming in,
right?
And you're going to get a nice kind of blue light, and if you throw an incandescent light in the shot, it's going to be very yellow. So you're going to have this kind of this play of nice warm yellow light against like a cool blue light. And watch the emotions fly there.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Those colors, that's a very common color set in movies and photography is blue on orange, like sort of the cool versus the warm tones and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It really conveys a lot of emotion. Watch for it next time you watch a movie if you happen to see it. And think about what you're thinking.
I will.
Think about what you're thinking. That's a great line. Hey, Shakespeare. So how do you get good results? Like, you can't just walk in front of the window and snap away. What are some of the ways that you – like, what mode do you shoot in?
I shoot in AV mode.
Okay.
And I usually – I start with AV mode, and then I usually start with the exposure compensation set to 2/3 under, and then I start taking pictures. Again, typically I'm taking portraits of the kids, so I do the little things that you were talking about. I shoot from above, so I shoot down and with those parameters usually get pretty good results. I adjust the f-stop up and down and my distance from the subject, but that's pretty much where I start.
So in AV mode, would you say the most important thing to be conscious of is the exposure compensation?
In AV mode, yes.
Yeah. So what does that do for you? Like, what if you didn't use it, if you just had it set to zero, what kind of results would you get?
Usually too bright, too bright on the window light side. So in the case of Sarah's picture, her cheek on her left cheek closest to the window would probably be overexposed if it was set to a zero or a neutral.
Right. When you're using the evaluative metering, I can't even say it. It's such a mouthful.
Yeah.
Which is what you are, which is the basic setting on most DSLRs. I believe it's the default. It looks at the entire scene and tries to make a best guess over what the exposure should be. So it sees the dark background, the light foreground, and kind of goes in the middle. So you get sort of a meh underexposed background.
Yeah.
And a meh overexposed foreground. But it's kind of in the middle.
Yeah.
So by using the exposure compensation, you've dialed it down to say, I want her face to be exposed properly and get nice, solid skin tones without going over. And let the background fall off into black. You don't care.
Yeah.
So that's the situation. I mean, you can go the other way if you so desired. If you wanted to expose for the background and have the foreground just blow out, you could add, you know, plus two-thirds or plus one stop exposure that way. I can't see you doing that in this case, but
yeah,
but you can do that.
I follow you.
Another way to do that, and something I've been doing recently, is I've changed the metering mode.
Okay.
I stopped using the evaluative or the matrix in the Nikon or whatever it's called, where it and gone back to something called center weighted. I think it's called center weighted. That's what it actually is. Is that it just, rather than read the whole scene, it just sort of reads the center. 19% or something, 9%. I don't know. Someone look it up and email me if you want. But I didn't read the manual in this case. but it's more in line with how I used to shoot in the old film days. Was more of a center weighted, so it doesn't. I think you've already explained it.
Yeah.
But I've been getting good results, and that way, in this case, it would take a reading off Sarah's face and ignore the background anyway.
Right. So you'd probably get back to the same point.
You'd get the same result without having to do the minus two-thirds. It would probably, the exposure would be bang on at zero.
Okay.
But ultimately, your exposure numbers would be the same. Your shutter speed, your aperture, and all that. It would all end up being the same. It's just a matter of how you get there.
Right.
So that's one way to do it. Another way is to go right into full manual mode. Because if you're not getting the result you want, try shooting manual. Set your aperture to what you want and then just dial in the shutter speed until you get what you're looking for.
Right.
And that's one way to go as well. So.
And I guess, you know, I probably would have gone that route if it wasn't, again, in my scenario, just so easy to get the result I want. And I think, again, we've discussed previously about just kind of knowing the light and what you've got. And so if you have big windows and you shoot and you find what you like, you know, make a mental note or make an actual note of what you shot at and what your parameters were so that you can, you know, recreate it the next time.
I couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, I think
I'm going to try. I'm going to say it better and then edit yours out.
I think you did say it on previous episode. I think I'm paraphrasing from your probably 10-minute long segue into.
Was that Latin? Yes. Right. I also like the fact, getting back to Sarah's picture, I like the fact that you didn't go crazy with the f-stop and shoot it at 1.8, so that her shoulder is a little bit soft, but is there.
Right.
You didn't blow it right out, like I did in Elena's shot. But anyways.
Again, but that you were going for that effect, right? And I think yes. The effect works in certain scenarios and not in others. And in your shot, it works because of also the angle and the fact that the entire background is blown out. And I think in this situation with this head-on shot, I don't think it would work.
Right. Also, my wife wasn't happy with what she was wearing, so I promised her I wouldn't include it in the photo.
Well, there you go. And Sarah was very happy with her pajamas that she was wearing, princess pajamas. Oh, get ready for tons of princess stuff, by the way.
Oh, hey, we live in the land of castles, man.
Yeah, you're good to go.
Oh. Yep, absolutely.
Get ready for tea parties.
Oh, I love tea, even when it's just water, really. Just the tricks. Lastly, just before we wrap up here, you want to start experimenting. Another way to get good results is to experiment with position of your subject in the room. As we mentioned a little bit earlier, move your subject around closer to the window, further from the window, and see what kind of results you get. You know, you want more even light, you get close, and a lot of fall off. Listen back, and rather than having me repeat myself.
Yeah, and I think the bottom line here is experiment. I mean, that window light is a great free light source, mm-hmm. and so play around and see what you like.
And use the shadows to your advantage. That's something I've learned to do. Is like you did with Jack. You know, oh great, there's a shadow coming in from the window support or whatever the window pane.
Yeah.
Use it.
Yes.
Breaks up the photo nicely.
And you know, sometimes it doesn't work, and then delete it.
Yeah, that's pretty much right.
Yeah.
That's the beauty of digital and the window lights. So. That's it.
All right. What are you going to plug here?
Well, I want people to first of all submit if they would like to submit their new window light pictures. Even though the challenge has already happened, still feel free to submit your window light pictures to Flickr. We'd like to see them.
Absolutely.
After listening, we should stress that you know, at any time you want to submit pictures that have to do with the challenge, any of our challenges. Go ahead. There's no time limit on that.
And if you haven't, if you were kind of tossing around the idea of participating in challenges on Flickr, do it because it's fun. And like I said, I never knew really what Flickr was all about. And now that I've been checking it on a more regular basis, I find it a lot of fun. I think it helps with learning, and I think it's kind of fun to get feedback from different people from around the world. So yeah, throw your pictures up there.
Yep. I think the only downside, and this is weird because normally it's not like this, but some people are being really positive, and they can go ahead and if you don't like our pictures, you can tell us. I can take it.
Yes, me too.
So I actually kind of prefer it. If there's something that I did wrong, like in the picture of Lena with the background, with the picture reflecting the light, feel free to point that out. I'm good. I'll get super defensive the first time. You'll be like, well, yeah, what about you? or just say, at least I'm better than Adam.
Right. I prefer all positive feedback and everyone to tell me how amazing I am. So it's just, I'm all about people pumping my tires.
That's what makes you a better photographer. That's how you learn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. Oh, wonderful. Meanwhile, it's out of focus. Picture of your foot.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, well, before we get into where you can find us, let's do next week's challenge.
All right. Do you have a challenge?
I have a challenge for you.
All right.
You can see where we're going with the show. Next week's challenge, bounce flash.
Awesome.
That's it. There's nothing else to do with it. Just bounce flash. What is bounce flash? Hey, we'll talk about that.
And what about for those people out there that might not have an external flash?
Uh-oh.
Better go get one.
Is it worth the money?
It is. Love it.
Yes.
Don't get one of the ones that doesn't have a pivoting head.
Which one do you shoot with?
I have the Canon 430EX, so it's kind of a middle of the road one. You have the higher end version of that, right?
Yes, I shoot with the 580, which is essentially just a little more powerful, but does the same thing.
Right, and there is a cheaper external flash, but it doesn't have the pivoting head at all. And don't buy that one.
I would suggest not buying that one as well.
Yeah,
I concur. Nikon makes a really good one that is cheap, but it only bounces straight up, not to the side.
Right.
So a friend of ours has that one. He likes it well enough. It's good for traveling-ish, but it doesn't have the flexibility. So we're going to get into external flash next episode. We'll introduce the concept of it. But until then, the challenge will be take a bounce shot.
Okay.
And we'll discuss what that even means later. If you don't know, tune in next week and we'll tell you.
All right.
So until then, Adam, where can people find your pictures?
They can find them on theschwartzchronicles.com. And how about...
Let's drop the. Drop the.
Oh, just schwartzchronicles.com. Sorry. He's right. There's no the. Just Schwartz Chronicles.
Yeah. Do you want me to do your branding for you?
Sure. Can you make me t-shirts?
Yeah, already done.
And Alan, where can we find your stuff?
As always, my own website is alanattridge.com. You can find us at twohosers.com, at twohosers on the Twitter, on the Flickr. You can, if you go to our website, you can find our photo group.
Yeah.
The photo challenge group.
Yeah.
There's a link there that people can join for free and participate in the fun. I think that's everywhere you can find us. Look for us on iTunes. And until next week, go make better pictures.